Right back at it. Glad you're along tonight. The terrific book out, and I've been waiting for a long time to have this opportunity to introduce it to all of you. In fact, I promised my guest scientist research engineer John Bedini that as soon as the book was ready, he'd be back. He is back tonight. The book is called Bearden, as in Tom, Free Energy Generation, Circuits and Schematics, 20 Bedini Bearden Years. This is a revolutionary book. It is a breakthrough book. It's a classic already. And let's talk now with John Bedini and find out what this is all about. For those of you online, we have put up through the courtesy of John a whole lot of pictures for you, and we'll be able to walk through those as well. Welcome back, John.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Good, thank you. I'm glad the book is finally finished. 20 years of research between the two of you on this, I guess, effort. It is now codified in book form. What's in the book? Is it something people can pick up and kind of play around with, even as amateurs, and build things?
Oh, yes. I mean, the book is what Bearden and I learned for the past... Actually, it's been a little bit longer than 20 years. I'll give you a little bit of history on this. In 1971, just as soon as I got out of the military, I always had this thought in my head about energy and what was actually in the textbooks that I was trying to teach myself.
Well, and not only the things that you were reading, but we've all been exposed, even high school students, to these, you know, basic physics energy textbooks, which are, I don't want to speak for you, but basically all BS.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Jeff. It's all BS. It's like 100 years old. The technology... Ever since Nikola Tesla gave us the technology of the alternating current,
we've been stuck in an AC world.
Well, yeah. Yes, for the simple reason is that that type of current you must pay for. You have to pay for it. It has to return to the generator, so therefore it has to turn your meter. And therefore, you have to get billed 6 cents or 12 cents a kilowatt hour.
And that tragic truth is what ultimately doomed Nikola Tesla and deprived all of us of really an almost utopian existence.
Yes, it did. And the thing about this is I term it radiant energy. Now, there's many uses of the term radiant energy. It could be a heat energy coming from the ground. It could be solar energy coming from the sun. It could be a bunch of different things, Jeff. But in reality, I guess we should point out in the very first picture on the internet that I think everybody's got that up.
Right.
And first of all, before I go any further here, I just want to congratulate you on that Mario Lanza album. It's the best, Jeff.
Thank you, John. Thanks very much. I have 3 more coming out, so I really appreciate your kind words. Thank you.
And the thing about this is, and you know, special thanks to all the groups that have kept the faith with me. And there's 2 groups out there that actually have been experimenting with this. But the first picture, if you look at the first picture, you can see that I'm standing there. You can't see my head there, but
it's still there.
Yeah, somewhere. But you see that. That flash that's occurring there?
Sure.
That is probably one of the most potent discharges off that little machine that you see running there in the background. You can't see the fan blade, but it's actually spinning pretty quick there.
Now, that's the tall device that is directly behind the yellow voltmeter.
Right. That's exactly what they term the schoolgirl motor.
Huh.
But it's a modified one. If you look at it very closely, You see those black devices on that heatsink there?
Mm-hmm.
There's 10 of them there.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's 10 circuits on that one coil.
Wow.
Producing this energy flash. And that energy right there, Jeff, when you hit a battery with that energy, the battery instantly decides to boil. Cold boil. No heat.
Wow.
None whatsoever.
What are you holding in your hands that is...
I'm shorting that energy out, and it's dead cold.
Hmm.
So I don't have any problem right there of getting any burns or anything.
What are you shorting it to?
Just shorting it to itself.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you can see the discharge there. It was I was doing it for a PhD physicist. He wanted to see that discharge.
How far apart are the two wires?
They're about a quarter of an inch apart.
Mm-hmm.
So when that thing discharges, it's just kaboom. Now, what I should do right here, right now, is explain to you how Tom and I basically view what we call the vacuum or the ether.
Now, the vacuum, for all of you out there, is that distance. Well, is it distance? Whatever it is, it's the space in outer space. It's
right.
The space between atoms. It's the vacuum. It's the ether.
Right.
A lot of you have heard the term ether, but you don't know that's what it's relating to, and it is. It's the space.
Correct. It's the space that's around you that is normal to everybody as they go through their life routines all day long. They don't have any feeling of this, all right, or what the potential of it is. It's almost as if a bird's flying up to a high voltage wire, and the bird lands on the wire, but he's at the same charge, so he doesn't get the electrocution. In other words, there's no ground.
People don't understand that.
Yeah, so he charges to the same potential. So basically what I want to explain to you is, let's just take a balloon for an example.
Mm-hmm.
That balloon surrounds us. So every once in a while, we can make something or do something in our electrical circuits that punches just a little pinhole in that balloon. Doesn't pop the balloon.
Mm-hmm.
It just opens up a little hole, and a little of this energy leaks out. And if we're smart enough,
mm-hmm.
we can trick the circuits into catching them.
And the balloon being symbolic of space or the ether.
Exactly.
In any volume you want it.
Exactly, because it's under pressure.
Okay.
It's more like a gas than electricity.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what we want to do is have some of this stuff get into the circuit, and then we want to catch this stuff, charge something up with it, or dump it to a storage battery. And by the mechanisms that we make here, we can get that energy for basically free, for a little work on the input.
Very good. All right, stand by, John. We'll come right back. John Bedini is my guest, and a special hello to you, Tom Bearden. And congratulations for a magnificent career and so many achievements. All out in the brand new book now, which you can see by scrolling down to the bottom of the page. It is Bearden, Free Energy Generation, Circuits and Schematics, 20-plus years, Bedini and Bearden. We'll be right back. With John Bedini, learning about always fascinating things with John. And we're talking about Tom Bearden's new book, Free Energy Generation, Circuits and Schematics, 20-plus Bedini Bearden years. And let me, if I might, John, I want to read, because Tom isn't on the program tonight. He doesn't do much radio. And I'd like to read, if I can, just the back cover of the book to explain to our listeners what your partner is all about. His background is extraordinary. Lieutenant Colonel Thomas E. Bearden, U.S. Army retired, is the author of numerous books, papers, briefings, and presentations on video dealing with anomalous phenomena, scalar electromagnetics, free energy devices, Soviet Tesla weapons, and Soviet scalar electromagnetic weather warfare. And boy, John, just as an aside, was my life expanded and changed when I first saw Tom's video on those scalar weapons. I get that I think he put that out in the 80s, didn't he? Late 80s?
Oh, yeah, 84.
Yeah, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Lieutenant Colonel Bearden was previously a senior scientist and department manager with the Alabama Division of a major aerospace company, where he directed the company's design and production of expert systems, artificial intelligence applications for the U.S. Army Command Control Systems. He has more than 29 years' experience in air defense systems, tactics and operations, technical intelligence, nuclear weapons employment, computerized war games, anti-radiation, missile countermeasures, and military weapons systems requirements. Bearden obtained a Master of Science degree in nuclear engineering from the Georgia Institute of Technology and a Bachelor of Science degree in math from the Northeast Louisiana University. He's a graduate of the U.S. Army Command and General Staff College. An extraordinary man. Again, we salute you, Tom. Go ahead, John.
Okay, so we're going to go down to the first row of pictures. They're all in little blocks there. Okay, and the very first picture is Tom Bearden sitting at the bench there with a very small monopole motor. Now, the monopole motor is the same thing as the schoolgirl motor.
Okay, now explain to our listeners just briefly, John, we've got time, what the schoolgirl motor is and does. What's the theory? What's the concept? How does it work?
Okay, it is a cross between what we termed a G-field energizer, which is, at that time, is a flux gate. In other words, it's in a magnetic lock, and when it breaks loose of the magnetic lock, it discharges this energy spike, okay? Almost like a lightning bolt hitting.
Right.
And this is what we term the spike. And so we say it's radiant, all right, because it puts out heat.
Got it.
When this spike discharges. So what actually happened here was that this little girl, Shawnee, wanted to do a science fair project, and so I worked next door to her father, and we were talking one day, and she came in and she said, "Dad, I've been in the science library, and I can't find anything that's worth anything. I can't make this. I'm not going to, you know, get a cork and stick two pins in it and wrap some wire around it. This is, like, too hard to do, and it's going to, the batteries, it doesn't last long, right?"
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "Shawnee, what if I taught you how to make a little motor that would run the whole science fair, run a little generator and a light, and you wouldn't have to worry about the battery going dead?" And so right away you could see her eyes, you know, they just opened up, Jeff. Of course, her mouth dropped down, right? She says, "Well, that's, you know, it's not what I learned." And I said, "Well, let's unlearn it, and let's get started." And so for a couple of weeks, I taught her. She did all the work. She glued all the magnets on the wheel. She wound the coil by hand exactly as I told her to do, and I told her, she actually soldered the transistor in and everything like that, and I said, "Now take this one and feed it back, you know, put this wire here and feed it back over here," and she did all that, and then in the meantime, she was making notes, so she had a whole poster board of all these notes she was learning about this motor. Well, come the science fair, she started this motor up. Of course, she won. She won every award. She took all three prizes. And then she was told very politely after the whole science fair that you could never enter the science fair again.
Oh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was like, forget it. The science teachers were scratching their heads. They couldn't understand how this motor ran because it didn't switch any poles.
Uh-huh.
It didn't use a north and south pole to switch to switch like a normal motor. So they couldn't. The first thing they couldn't figure out is, since it's all the same poles, how's this thing turning?
Yeah, and how are they going to explain it to their students without looking stupid?
Exactly. She explained it to Jean Manning perfectly in the article that's in that book.
Uh huh.
And she said the spins did this and the spins did that, and the current goes around here, but the current doesn't go through, and so therefore the battery doesn't get eaten up, you know, doesn't discharge. And she won everything. And, of course, it lit the LED. Actually, it drew less while it was lighting the LED, which they couldn't explain either.
Hmm.
You know, but not one of them, Jeff, not one of the science instructors ever contacted me to find out why.
Pathetic.
Well, that's pathetic.
That's the Achilles heel of so-called modern science. Fear,
exactly.
Resentment, jealousy, I don't care what you call it.
See, you are going to pay, no matter what you do for energy, the rest of your life.
Right.
In 1984, when they slammed me against the wall and held me up against the wall, two big guys looked like they walked out of Vic Tanny's. You know what that is, right?
I remember that.
Yeah. And they hold you at gunpoint.
It's Gold's Gym now.
Yeah, Gold's Gym, right. And so, and they tell you, you're going to buy gasoline the rest of your life. What can you say?
See?
They're going to just shoot you on the spot.
Whatever you guys want, that's fine with me.
Yeah, you can take their badge numbers, Jeff. You can do it. And you know what? They're non-existent people. They're just some bruisers that are out there to stop all this.
There's a million of them, folks.
Oh, yeah, just tons of them.
Yeah.
So anyway, as you see in these pictures, this is a schoolgirl motor. And this was during a TUV test. This is a German firm. Now, this is going to get pretty exciting for you, because this TUV is the equivalent of the United States UL.
Ah.
So we hired them, paid all their expenses to the tune, I think it was around $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
And they did the test, and you can see the engineer in the second picture where the time code says 8, 10, 10, 13.
See it, yeah.
That's Frank Hensel in the back from TUV. He's German.
Mm-hmm.
And he's testing that little schoolgirl motor there that's recharging its batteries while it's running away.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the best part of this, Jeff. After the test was done, because Tom Bearden was here during the whole test, you know, he said what it did, but when he got back to his headquarters, they refused to let him write the report.
Come on. When did this test occur?
I'm telling you. I wouldn't lie to you about it, Jeff.
That's ridiculous.
They refused to write the report. They sucked up the money, and we never heard another word.
And when was this?
This was around 2000.
So 6 years ago.
Yeah. So,
into the rabbit hole, folks.
Yeah, we got the preliminary thing that he wrote right there. So Gary made some graphs, and we had that. But see, when they don't do their job and they don't write the reports, that tells you something, Jeff.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so now we move down, and then, of course, 2000 goes by. Tom Bearden, this is when Tom Bearden is in pretty good health here.
Yeah.
Okay, Tom, and then shortly after that, Tom got sick and had to stay on antibiotics for a year, which didn't help.
No.
And so Tom couldn't, and Tom would tell you that he just loved to come out and watch us guys work, do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just proved that Tom Bearden was right in what he was talking about in these books that he was writing.
Hey, Tom took a lot of crap from people,
yes,
of course.
Did.
Still does.
Yes, he did. Yeah. He took enormous crap, Jeff. The institutions are so brainwashed into Maxwell's equations and Heaviside and the rest of them that they're never going to get past their closed loop circuits. So you're always going to waste energy in them.
Right.
So,
Well, you could talk about, we got a break here. We could talk about this in terms of the medical community, the medical so-called scientific pharmaceutical paradigm as well. You're never going to get past the take a pill to cure it thing It's the same kind of locked-in rat wheel that people are on, and they're going to be kept on.
You're never going to get past this, Jeff.
No. You try, you die. It's real simple. I remember talking to Tom over 10 years ago, and I invited him on the program, and he said, and he's got that wonderful accent, Southern gentleman. He says, they told me, he said, you don't talk about this stuff on radio. Just don't do it.
Right.
So he doesn't do much.
They told me, but I'm here.
Yeah. You are more ornery than Tom, I think.
Well, look, I got a bunch of groups out there, Jeff, and they're all building stuff, and so it's out.
Well, we've done so many wonderful programs, John, and you've always shared your research with the world. That's
up
there right now.
Oh, this is going to get more exciting for you coming up.
Okay, another hour to go with John Bedini as we take a look next at the dual monopole motor. It has a beautiful little piece of equipment. And keep in mind his image of the balloon and just making a little tiny hole in it, and some of that energy gets out and trying to find a way to collect it and use it. That's an interesting image. We're talking about true free energy here, and we're up against probably the most vicious monolith on the planet, and that is the slave masters who want us all to keep paying to enjoy our birthright, which is life, liberty, comfort, and the pursuit of happiness. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Talking with John Bedini about Tom Bearden's new book and about the work that they have both been involved with for a long time. John has been working in this field ever since I've known him. Got a lot of neat pictures to look at. By the way, there is a brand new DVD out, and I want all of you to reload the main page at Rents.com and look under John Bedini's name, because we have a link to the DVD for your consideration. At least it'll be up there in a moment or two. So look for that. Okay, John, let's proceed.
Okay, so we'll just walk down to the next set of pictures where it says, testing of the Bedini-Cole circuit, the real McCoy.
Okay.
You see that one?
Mm-hmm.
That's in that little CD case.
Right.
Well, this motor here was to combine two of the circuits in the book called capacitive discharge. And what we mean by that is we let the monopole energizer charge up the capacitor bank, then we switch that and put that across the battery. So basically what we're doing is we're hitting the battery with a high voltage spike as hard as we can hit it for just a blink of an eye, just very quickly, Jeff. And what that does is release the energy in the battery. And how it does that is that you build up a dipole in charge, which is a high potential charge, and since there's no current involved for that very brief moment in time, the charge piles up on the ions in the battery, and see what the ions want to do then is they want to move themselves. So you get a recharged storage battery.
Got it.
For no current. All right? So that little unit right there, the reason that we call that the real McCoy, is that proved out the Bedini-Cole circuit, which Ron Cole was a very good friend of mine that developed what he called the bipolar switching circuit, which you'll find in the book, all right? And And if not, it's all over the internet. It's on the Yahoo groups. It's everywhere. And the thing about that circuit is that it's free from the battery. In other words, the battery doesn't even know that it's hooked up. It floats that coil out in its own independent space. And we're going to get into that in a minute about space.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll move to the next picture. So the very next picture, you see a four-pole monopole motor. This is when we started to add more pole around the monopole because we wanted to collect more of these radiant spikes. All right? So we have that picture there. And you can see that the four coils and the magnets are all around the wheel. Now, I want everybody to understand they're not south and north poles. They're all north poles. So there's no south poles here. There's just north poles, which is kind of unheard of. You wouldn't make a motor that way, right?
Correct.
And so these two pictures, the four-pole and the four-pole monopole, you see two different views of it here. And then we'll move over to the next picture, which this is the first patent which the U.S. Patent Office granted to me after a lot of work of a capacitor discharge coil circuit. This is a coil circuit once again, and you can see that that big plexiglass disc contains all the magnets all the way around.
Hmm.
It's just one pole,
mm-hmm.
And then you can see that aluminum wheel. You can see Peter in the background there. His arm is near the timing wheel, and there's a belt that goes from the shaft to the timing wheel. And this thing, the motor spins and charges up these capacitors. And then what happens is a switch comes on, a solid-state switch, which is inverted. You'll see that in the book. It's called inverted circuitry. And then it discharges, and it uses the battery for a load. So it actually does everything in reverse. All the circuits work in reverse in this. So you can see the two pictures of that. You can see it's stationary in the first picture, and it's running in the second picture. It's charging batteries in the second picture. And then we'll just go ahead and move over to the Bedini coil window motor. Now, see this motor right here?
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's inside of what we call a window coil. The coil is just a loop of wire, and it just looks like a window to this magnetic rotor. So it's almost as if you took your window pane and you turned it horizontal. You follow me?
Okay.
And then you applied the magnets at 90 degrees, which would be vertical, which you see right here in the picture.
Okay.
Okay, so now, here's the clincher. We got to do this for you. See this? It says test Bedini coil motor, no battery.
Got it.
So go ahead and click on that, Jeff, and watch that. And I'm going to be doing the hookup, and you're not going to see any battery. So let's go ahead and do that.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, so now you can see that I'm hooking it up there. I'm sure it's up on yours, right?
Should be, yeah.
Okay, so we're hooking it up, and you can see there's no battery involved here. It's just going straight to a storage capacitor. And this proves the point that the energy can come out of the vacuum because there's no battery here, and I'm just going to give it a push. And it's going to continue to run itself there.
Well.
So you know that science is far behind.
Science doesn't have a clue.
No. And I'm going to stop it. You watch me push it there. And that's how much extra is left in the capacitor that it continues to run itself.
Okay. Again, if you're just joining us, make sure you refresh the page at rents.com. Look under guests and look under John's name for photos, and that's where we are.
And you're going to see here that it's just going to run itself. And we'll just let it run it, because then the next one gives you a visual indication of how this thing operates.
Now,
explain that.
Very quickly, just so we don't leave anybody behind, let's go back and do that little run-through of those photos again.
Okay.
We're going to look right below. We're at the dual monopole motor test on the dual monopole. Now we're at the testing of the Bedini-Cole circuit.
Right, we're down at the bottom.
Okay.
Which says the Bedini-Cole window motor.
Okay.
Okay, so yep. If you wanted to see that motor run, you click on that. Okay, now the motor that you see below this, it looks like a pool ball, right? That's actually a ball from a planetary machine, and you can see there's two coils here. There's one vertical and there's one horizontal.
Hold on. I want to make sure everyone gets a chance to look at the Bedini-Cole window motor running.
Itself.
So see, you'll see where it says test Bedini-Cole motor, no battery. There's a link there. Now you click that and let that page look. We got a lot of heavy use on there, so hopefully it'll load up for you. If not, try back later. And it's coming up right there, and you'll see it. I guess it's a QuickTime video, anyway.
It's actually an MPG.
MPG, MPEG, okay. So I'm watching the motor now. John's attaching wires. He does that so well.
Well, you know,
they're
35,
clips.
40
they're
years of practice, John.
Alligator clips.
Yep.
We love alligator clips.
Well, but the whole point of this, Jeff, is what were we led to believe?
Yeah, it couldn't happen, and there it is. Now, you notice the sophisticated electromagnetic automated starter.
Yes,
that was
hand.
Used. The hand. It's called John's hand, and he gives
it. Could be a pull cord.
Could be. He just gives it a few flicks, and this thing goes. Now that'll go for how long, John?
Well, that'll go until that capacitor totally bleeds itself, which is quite a while, because that motor is just to prove the principle that there is no back EMF to stop that rotor.
Uh-huh.
Okay, there's a misconception, back EMF. Back EMF applies to the conventional wound DC motor, in which the motor cannot exceed the battery voltage. This motor can exceed that and run itself.
Wow, that's fascinating to watch that thing go.
Okay, so Tom Bearden came to my lab during the TUV test.
Mm-hmm.
And this next motor you see in the picture was sitting there underneath a glass case.
You know, that's just further down. That's all the way almost, well, it's to the bottom there. It's right below the test Bedini-Cole motor, no battery.
Right.
So that's called the window motor.
Right. Bedini-Cole, motor has been on the same batteries for over 15 years.
The same battery, it hasn't stopped.
No, I picked up this motor, and the batteries fell out, and Tom Bearden looked at the batteries, and he says, "What the hell's this? They're all crusty. How could these batteries work, right?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, here it is. Click on that little link right there that says, right underneath it,
okay,
says window WMB.
Got it. All right, that's right under where it says window motor Bedini-Cole. This motor has been on the same batteries for over 15 years. Click on the link below that as we take our break and watch it, and we'll come right back with John Bedini. Back with John Bedini, and lots to look at, as always. Who helped you put these pictures up on the page, John?
Gary and I did it today.
Okay, thanks to Gary.
We did it as quickly as we could, so you have to excuse me if there's any.
No, you got it done right. These are, you know, if nothing else, these things are fascinating just to look at. It's just amazing. Your first patent, the Bedini motor generator, shown charging batteries here. I mean, this stuff's amazing. Who, has anyone, all right, Has anyone expressed interest in these, John?
Oh, yes.
For whatever reason, wants to buy you out and bury them, buy you out and try to produce them, buy you out and do what?
No, but they're interested in the technology because we've got energy shortages coming up, Jeff.
Yeah.
Okay, and my plan was to start out real slow, get as you know, the SG group, the one that Sterling Allen started, was the start, mm-hmm. where we gave a simple little circuit and we wanted everybody to build the circuit and we wanted to charge the batteries. And that's all we wanted to prove on that. We weren't claiming, you know, great COP efficiencies one-to-one, plus right. the mechanical energy.
Right.
And, of course, several people succeeded right away. And you'll read that down below later. But the problem with what Sterling was doing is he didn't follow directions. Hmm. Nobody ever follows directions.
Hmm.
Jeff, I don't care who you give a circuit diagram to. Somebody always knows better than you.
I see.
You follow me?
Yeah.
And so if he would have just... And the other part about this group was that that people just beat me severely on that group. I mean, you named it, they picked on me. And so I got through all that and everything and kept continuing to go on. But other groups started then, which were really dedicated to the work, like the Monopole group on Yahoo and the OTG list that's over in England.
Right.
Then a university now is very interested in doing the research work on this. So this is going to get out.
Yeah, as they should be.
We've got, quantum physicists working on what it is we're actually tapping.
Uh-huh. Well, I'd like to see what they come up with by way of an answer.
Well, one of those theories was that balloon
mm-hmm.
that I just explained,
mm-hmm.
Very mm-hmm. conveniently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the thing about this is, this motor that you see in this picture right here, if you look at it very closely...
You're talking about the window motor?
One that we just... Mm-hmm. The window motor, the Bedini coil, this motor has been on the same batteries for over 15 years.
Right.
That one there is very unique because that's the whole mechanical system, the whole mechanical drive system.
Wow.
With a magnetic transmission, that's what's spinning the fan.
I see.
And see, the fan is slotted. You can't see it very clearly there, but there's bearings in the front.
I got it.
And that aluminum rotor disc that you see back there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Most people will tell you, well, aluminum's not magnetic, but it is. It's very magnetic, especially with the new magnets that we have today. So what you do with this is you start the motor and it rotates, but you notice the fan goes without any belts. So what's happening is as these neo magnets go by the window, they generate an eddy current or a current inside the aluminum, which causes it to spin. Then if you take this bearing in the front and you move it upward, you can actually shift this thing to slower speeds and faster speeds.
Wow.
So this is a model that I put together so that I would never forget.
Hmm.
And you notice the blinking LEDs when it's running, that's where you would put the generator coil.
Uh-huh.
All right, so I did it so that people could learn how to build this stuff.
Uh-huh.
Because what I want to have happen, Jeff, is I want a 5-year-old to know this.
Boy, you're asking for trouble.
Well,
let's hope. No, we're asking for liberation. Let's hope you are successful, and all of this is available. I mean, John will share his work with anyone. So you science teachers out there, whether you're high school or college or university, I challenge you. Let's get involved with this. Let's do it. Let's build these things.
Jeff, everybody should know what energy is. You shouldn't just get up in the morning, and go out to the power meter and go, gee, I owe them $50 today.
Right. What about solar? And the idea that, well, the idea, it's a law, you're allowed to sell back, the utilities have to buy back any over-energy you've created with solar or any other.
Yes, that's true.
Is solar getting now to the point where you're impressed with it?
Yes, because I'll tell you, we've taken this further. We started with a solid-state radiant, what we call the radiant chargers. We've passed UL. So we're licensed to build the charger.
Mm-hmm.
For golf carts. Now, let me explain to you what happens when we put them on golf carts. We can take an old golf cart, which you can't charge conventionally from the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do, because they ran these tests, and the thing is that once this charger gets done, you'll probably get about, it'll charge the batteries, and you'll scratch your head and go, well, how could that be? The normal charger doesn't charge it. Well, remember, I said no current.
No current. All right, let's ponder that just
okay.
For a minute or two. We'll come right back with John. And, wow, let me remind all of you that right under John Bedini's name, you'll see a link, and that goes to the new DVD, Energy from the Vacuum, which is just now available. We urge all of you to take a look at that. You can get them in time for Christmas. It's kind of the perfect thing, in addition to the book, to get for anybody who's interested in, well, what we used to call it physics, but it's much more, and at the same time, almost much less than that. It's fascinating. Be right back. John Bedini, and click on photos under his name and scroll down the page. All right, John, let's go ahead.
Okay, so my point was that we were pondering, right?
Right.
Is I think, this is just my opinion, Jeff, that everybody should know what the different forms of energy are. Everybody should know this.
Well, it ought to be like the alphabet, sure.
Yes, exactly. And I think that science needs to revise all their laws. Because if you really look at somebody sitting underneath an apple tree that gets hit on the head with an apple.
Like Isaac?
Yeah. You know, how does that explain gravity?
Well, back then they had it was a simpler world.
Yes, of course. But
now, are you talking about kind of retooling Einstein here a little bit, or somehow rehabilitating
him? Oh, absolutely.
Him? Because he is a sacred cow, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, from everything I've seen, he's going to need to be worked on.
Well, yeah, but see, I have a book that says Einstein doesn't work here anymore.
Is that the title of your book?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
No, I have a book that was written in Canada that says that.
Ah, that's cute.
Yeah, Einstein doesn't work here anymore.
Yeah, right.
And the thing is that energy is to be utilized for good, not for evil purposes.
Right.
In other words, if you need to pump some water to your field to grow your plants, well, not anymore because now they spray you. But the point is that if you need that energy, why shouldn't you be able to take your battery out of your electric power vehicle that got you there.
Of course.
Pump the water that you need, put it back in that vehicle, and drive home.
Well, I agree, if you can lift it up.
Yeah, well, a car battery's not that bad, but
if you're only needing one to propel the vehicle, yeah.
Right, and see, the thing about it is what I was trying to do with this little girl was teach her, you know, that energy is something that we can move from one form to another form.
Mm-hmm.
And utilize it.
Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating lesson.
Yeah. Now, if we move down, let's move down the page just a little bit to the next Energizer, and you'll see that great big 10 pole.
Okay, that's the round item with the
That's
10
the
red spools of wire on it.
Yes, that's...
Looks like a radial engine from an old aircraft.
And
a steerman.
Right. And the thing about this, Jeff, is these are self-rotating magnetos.
Huh.
So they generate their own trigger, they fire their own transistor, and they produce this signal, which is a radiant signal that we capture. And if you look at the size of the batteries underneath that...
Yeah, that's some big batteries.
Yeah, they're 1,800 amp hours.
Where did you get those batteries?
Cell phone towers.
Wow.
Those batteries right there, those two banks, you see the little square one on the side of the round one?
Yeah.
Those two banks right there would give you all the energy you needed to run your house. They'll deliver 85 amps for 8 hours.
Those 12 batteries?
Yes.
You'd need that many to run a house?
Well, no, you can get away with just a 12-volt bank right there, see?
Right.
There's two 12-volt banks there. That's a 24-volt system. So
that's the bench below. Now, I'm still looking at the round canisters.
Okay, yeah, right. Exactly. Those batteries right there, the round canisters.
Okay. Now, if we go down below there, we're looking at what look like just deep cell. What do they call them?
Golf cart batteries.
That's it.
Right. You can see that load bench is running from those. This Energizer is running here, charging one bank of batteries, and I'm drawing the energy off that bank of batteries at 2,000 watts here.
And you're running it right into your sub-panel there, into your meter?
Exactly. It's running right through the meters, and it's being metered exactly like the power company would meter it, so that they can't come in there and accuse me that there's a trick here. See?
Right. I got it.
You follow me?
Yeah.
And so this is 120 volt, 60 cycles, full AC sine wave, so it'll run any piece of equipment that you want, drills, televisions, TV sets, refrigerator, stove, if that's what you required. So this is no kidding around here, Jeff. We do this all day long, figuring out exactly what the best procedure. Now, you asked the question, so I'm going to answer the question about the solar. We'll go back to the golf cart just for 1 minute. We can take the golf cart, which usually can do about 18 holes. I think you know that.
Yep.
All right. By the time you're done with 18 holes, your golf cart's pretty much dead, and you have to take it in and recharge it. And so what we did was we developed a golf cart charger using this energy, and we take the golf carts that are unchargeable by conventional means, in other words, the normal chargers that they put on them. And what we do is we condition them with the radiant charger, and we get about 10 miles the first run on dead batteries. Then we bring them back, and we do it again, and we condition these batteries again, and we get this sucker up to 15 miles on the next one.
And what are you doing to condition the batteries?
Just hitting it with a radiant charge, discharging and charging. So basically what we do is inside the battery, Jeff, we can look at the battery like this. The plates look like a foggy window that you're looking through.
Okay.
And when the radiant charge gets done, the window pane is clear.
So
now you can get all the energy to the plates.
So what are you clearing? What are you clearing off? What is equivalent to the fog?
The radiant charger has a very unique process in that it can chip away every bit of sulfation and rebuild the plates with a plating process in reverse from the way that they tell you to charge the storage battery.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
So we get 20 miles on batteries that look like they're bulged and ready to go that you'd have to replace.
Huh.
So now I think at 20 miles, I think you could do more than 18 holes of golf.
I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So that's one of the products that we developed from this. Now we come up with what we call the solar kick. Now what we're doing is developing an oscillator that you can hold in your hand that you can run off your solar panel, which means you can have minimum solar panels, minimum wind generators. The solar panel never sees a load, and the wind generator never sees the load. It only sees the oscillator. And that goes and charges the batteries in your house.
How many would the average house need to have?
About 720 amp hours.
One golf cart battery is worth how many?
Well, those golf cart batteries are about 225 amp hours each.
So you only need three?
Well, you need to see each golf cart battery is a 6-volt battery.
Oh, you got
it. You have to put two of them together to get 12 volts.
I got it.
And then you just parallel those up until you got 720 amp hours.
That's not many batteries at all. Yeah, I see. X is one. Okay, hold on. Be right back.
All right.
Okay, back with John Bedini, looking at those banks of batteries in his lab. The white ones on the left are the, what do they call it, deep cycle? I can't remember.
Yeah, they're deep cycle.
Deep cycle golf cart type batteries. So two of those equal one 12-volt battery, which is a big battery when you pair them off like that. So you've got two, four, six, eight, 10 visible there.
Right.
That would be equivalent to five large 12-volt batteries.
Right.
And more than enough amp hours to charge the average house and keep it operational. Right?
Right. But if you're running 12 volt, Jeff, you're paralleling the 12 volt banks. When you parallel the batteries, you get twice the amp hours.
Wow.
And so when you put them in series, you get the same number of amp hours. So if you're running 24 volts, right, they're in series. So you're only going to be getting the amp hours connected in series, which is 225 amp hours. Okay, if you parallel these into 12-volt banks, then you'll have the 225, the 225, the 225, the 225. And it'll keep going up.
That's 900 amp hours.
Right. 900 amp hours is one heck of a battery.
That'll push any house around the clock, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Unless you're running an HVAC system a lot, but you don't need to if you build a proper house.
Right. If you were doing this, you would be using LED lighting, and you'd be using all the high-tech stuff.
You know what I like? Are those little Ott lights?
Yes.
I think they only pull, 15 watts or something?
Yeah.
I don't know what. Some tiny little amount of current, and they light up the whole area. They're great. You can do a whole house in Ott lights and probably 150 watts do the whole house.
Right. And you'd light up the house.
Yeah.
You know, so that's basically what this book is all about, Jeff. This book is all about how to build these systems. But I got another little treat for you here. Right underneath that energizer as you go down, let's go down past the book review just for a minute.
Sure.
Okay, and you can see the very first picture there. This is how I see, in my mind, the magnetic fields.
Oh, yeah.
All right? That's my rendition of how I view the motor.
Huh.
In my mind's eye.
I see.
I'm not saying that you're going to view it that way.
No, it's fascinating. I see.
Okay. And down below that one, you see the exact motor that's in the book, a schematic diagram of it. So that somebody that's versed in the art can build this and get it to work. All right, now if we go down a little bit lower, you see the next big picture.
Sure, a 12-pole monopole running.
Right. Now, let's watch that run, Jeff.
Okay.
See that link underneath?
Yeah, MPEG.
Yep, just go ahead and click on that because it is not too long.
This is our biggest, latest motor.
Okay, it's narrated.
By Peter Linderman.
This is our biggest latest motor. 12 coil motor motors. There are 48 individual branch currents, which are being used for radiant energy production. This is the input current, currently at about 3.5 amperes for the total machine. This is the charging battery voltage. This is the run battery voltage. These are the battery banks. is the output. This is a one view across one of the control circuits. You can see the radiant spikes going off the top of the chart. Basically, on time for these switches is less than an eighth of the time, so about 12% duty cycle.
There you go.
Very interesting. All right, now the hum we're hearing is caused by what part of that motor?
The rotor. That's how fast the rotor's going.
And the rotor?
About 2,200 RPM.
Wow.
Okay,
wow.
Now this motor is charging these big golf cart batteries underneath there that Peter pointed out.
Right.
And it's only taking 3 amps to do it. It's less than your fan motor in your car.
Okay, so how many amp hour altogether are we charging up with this 3-amp drain?
You're charging...
Was that the 900?
I think you're running 24 volts here. You're running 24 volt system. So you're charging about 500 amp hours.
Jeez.
All right? And
Jeez.
You're doing it very easily. Yeah. Yeah. This thing is just coasting along at a high speed. The hum, when Peter points out you're looking across one control switch, mm-hmm. what we want to capture is just that spike that he points out.
I see.
We don't want to use any of the other energy at all.
Right.
We just want that little spike because that's the magical thing. That's what pokes the hole in the balloon.
So as long as this bank of batteries is physically standing up to its duty, if its integrity is maintained, this thing will continue to charge it at 3 amps.
Yes.
Basically, I mean, this machine could run, for a long time.
Now, there's a difference, but I want you to understand there's a difference between the two energies here. One is an energy that's a radiant type, and the other is conventional.
Okay.
So what you have to do is if you want to use the energy and put it back to the front, is you have to convert that. You must use a sine wave inverter and convert that through a battery charger and then put it back in the front.
Just a regular inverter like AC-DC?
Yes, exactly. And it'll put it back in the front.
Huh.
So, yes, you could continue to run this thing that way. And I've known people that have done this already. That have already done this.
So if you have an inverter, you got the battery bank, you build the 12-pole monopole, and you're going to run it and charge those batteries up indefinitely.
Exactly.
And it only pulls 3 amps.
Yeah, that's all it's going to ever pull, because it goes through what I call 3 resonant shifts, where each time it goes through one of these shifts, as it's accelerating, it reaches a resonance point.
So it's not putting out what you'd think it needs to put out because of the way you're capturing the energy.
Right. Right.
Most
and see that white bulb that's on there?
Yes.
That's the control mechanism. That's what I use as a servo to make sure that the motor sees a constant duty cycle.
Uh-huh. Huh.
All right? And then, of course, there's some resistor banks there, and you can see there's a lot of switching devices there.
Yeah.
And the reason that we're doing that is because we want to capture as much out of this balloon as possible.
So to build the 12-pole monopole, is that in the book?
No.
Okay.
Just the simple stuff's in the book so people get familiar with it.
I got it.
In other words, we want them to get familiar with it. Then all of a sudden, when somebody builds something and sees this, Jeff, in their mind...
Yes.
Just imagine what happens.
It's well,
like
an awful lot of people
Dick
are...
Tracy movie.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, science fiction isn't so bad, is it, Jeff?
No, it's amazing. It makes you want to enter a science contest. With this
well,
look
yeah.
at that.
Now, if we go down, just one more picture.
Okay,
this is Tom Bearden's version.
About a minute and a half.
Okay. This is Tom Bearden's version of the energy collector. And if you get this thing to start going, and I have to refresh my screen to do it, but...
Yeah, it's working here.
Okay. That's exactly... See, we take a little bit of energy from the battery in this ramp, we charge up this capacitor, then we dump it to the load. That way, we never let the current go fully through the source.
Hmm.
And so, therefore, we conserve the battery.
Hmm.
See, now, if we were charging another battery on this other side,
mm-hmm.
then you would have to convert that energy with an inverter and then put it back to the front.
I see.
As long as you isolate the two energies, you're fine.
Wow.
Interesting, isn't it?
Fascinating. And inverters aren't very expensive.
No. You know what, Jeff? It's like I said to one of my associates the other day, everybody should have a storage battery bank that they maintain in their house for times when the power goes out. Like, look at the people in Minnesota.
Of course.
You know?
You have nothing to lose. It's a simple form of preparation. Just use it to run the refrigerator. Run a couple cables and just plug the appliances you need in times of emergency to be on. You don't need
America
everything.
America needs to get prepared for the energy crisis because we're going to get it.
Yep. Well, the 12-pole monopole, there's a market for that.
Oh, yeah, there's a market for all those, especially when they're combined with solar.
Yeah.
And so that's what our company basically works on during the day, are all these different chargers. That's what we've done now for the past 10 years, Jeff.
Anything with the Earth battery, the Earth battery charging?
That's in the book.
It is. Fascinating.
Yes, it is. Yeah. You see, here's the other thing, Jeff. How many people know that they can tap the energy out of trees if they have to charge capacitors?
Unless they've been listening to us or you talking to you. No, it's fascinating. Stubblefield, he will rise again, thanks to you.
Yes, he will.
Let me say hello to Peter Lindemann and all the folks, and again, salute Tom and everybody who's involved with this, because you guys are really amazing. And all of your machines that you've built, all your motors, are so elegant, and you use the plexi so you can see everything.
It's right, I don't like black boxes, Jeff.
No, total transparency.
Right. When I hook that motor up on the bench, you see no hidden anything.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe in that. I believe that you share the knowledge to help the people.
Gee, you're old-fashioned.
Well, I'm sorry.
I'm always reminded
of... Forgive me, Jeff.
I do. You're forgiven in advance.
I'm in for helping the people. Yeah. That's the only reason that I have done this.
Well, you've done a magnificent thing, and I'm so glad that Tom's DVD is out, that the book is out. You guys are amazing. I look forward to our next conversation. Those of you who are members of the Rents Radio subscription service, go back in the archives and listen to John Bedini's earlier programs and look at the information, especially Stubblefield. Thank you again, my friend. It's been, as always,
Jeff.
Fascinating. Just fascinating. Thanks, John.
Great, Jeff. Glad. Okay. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Good night.
All right. Bye-bye.
John Bedini, research scientist, extraordinaire. We'll pause and come right back in 21 hours. See you then.